Welcome to this evening's Kartik reading. We will open today with a verse. It's a very wonderful verse. Nam yam vadami na shrunomi na chintayami Nanyam smarami na pajami na chashrayami Krishna tvadiya charanam ujam antarena Shishinivasa purushottamadehidasyam. I will not speak anything else. I will not hear anything else. I will not think anything else. I will not remember anything else. I will not worship anyone else. I will not take any other shelter. Krishna, your lotus feet are inside my heart. O Srinivasa Purushottama, please engage me in your devotional service. A beautiful verse that describes what some devotees who follow the Kartik Vrata feel. They wish to become exclusive at that time. We will continue seeing or witnessing the Damodar Leela unfolding. Yashoda's heart palpitated with her heavy breathing. Her hair loosened and the flowers fell to the ground. She was perspiring, she was tired, she was overwhelmed, and her labors were frustrated. Yashoda sat down now to rest and figure out how to tie up Krishna. A short time later, she tried again to bind her matchless son. The elderly gopis, who had lost all desire to return to their homes and who wanted to see how this pastime would unfold, stood motionless while staring at Krishna with unblinking eyes. Now all the ropes in Vrindavan joined in a fruitless attempt to bind the master of the universe. It is impossible to tie up bliss, wisdom, power and consciousness. So how can anyone tie up Krishna, who's made of nothing but bliss, wisdom, power and consciousness? I mean, where's the rope to tie up bliss? If anyone knows this rope, please give it to me. I would like to tie bliss up, but it's sometimes there and sometimes gone. Where's the rope for wisdom, power and consciousness? So Krishna is all of that. How can you tie him up? How could Yashoda bind one who has no inside or outside, who is limitless, who has no beginning or end, who has infinite power, who is the totality of everything, who is completely full and beyond any contamination, who is completely full and beyond any contamination, and who is within and outside of everything. Viewing the situation, the all-powerful Supreme Lord decided to bestow his mercy upon Yashoda. Even though Mother Yashoda eagerly desired to tie up Krishna, she met no success despite her total exhaustion. The endeavor of a devotee to bind the Lord can only be successful with the Lord's sanction. All of Yashoda's work now bore fruit because Krishna, out of compassion for her, suddenly allowed himself to be bound. extending his mercy, he saved his beloved mother from further anger and frustration. So Krishna, Mother Yashoda ties him up, but Yashoda wants to make sure he stays there. So she asked the assembled coward boys to watch Krishna to prevent him from untying himself and running away. Then Yashoda and the elderly gopis entered her private chambers. I think we had this yesterday. The moment Yashoda left, Krishna stopped crying and his face assumed a peaceful and effulgent glow like the luminous moonshine. Krishna thought how to use his present bondage to fulfill a prophecy of Narada Muni. Previously, Narada had cursed two intoxicated and indecent demigods named Nala Kuvera and Manigriva to become trees. Deciding to bestow his mercy upon them, Krishna dragged the grinding mortar tied to his belly along the ground towards those two trees. Krishna's playmates cheerfully followed him. They were laughing and firing Krishna up. From a distance, Krishna saw the two trees connected at the root. Similarly, a student will understand that Prakriti and Purusha originate from one source. As Karmakanda and Jnanakanda are separate paths, the two trees had different trunks. The Sama and Yajurvedas have various divisions, and similarly, the two trees had many branches. As a great king has the quality of valor and achievement, as a mountain range possesses steadiness, and as a cluster of clouds is laden with showers. Similarly, these two trees displayed an abundance of natural opulence. The demigods embodied in the two trees had become purified by suffering many years in that way. Just as clouds abound in the rainy season and as water becomes clear and pure in autumn. As the universe is vast and broad, these trees stood stout and strong. Known as a pair of Arjuna trees, they reminded everyone of the great heroes Arjuna and Kartavirya. Like Nakula and Sahadev, these two trees were also twins. Seeing Krishna moving towards the huge trees, his friend said, "Perhaps Krishna cannot tolerate the sunshine, so he is seeking shelter under those shady trees." While his friend spoke thus, I think Krishna just moves into the shadow. Krishna pulled the mortar over and it got stuck between the two trees. "He who annihilates all pretenders appeared splendid with his curly hair hanging loosely over his shoulders. Though Krishna's body is pure and spotless, his character is colored with wonderful varieties of rasa." With a slight jerk of the mortar, Krishna easily uprooted those huge trees in a moment. A loud cracking sound filled the air when the trees split open. As a person pokes a hole in a clay pot, that unique vibration which conquered all other sounds raced through the sky to puncture a hole in the coverings of the universe. The sound exactly resembled the terrible noise produced by the fierce thunderbolts crashing at the time of devastation. Krishna remained calm and joyful amidst the tremendous tumult. Krishna is eternally free, but he appeared to be bound to a grinding mortar. His character is eternally pure, but it was stained by his pastimes of stealing. Although he can liberate anyone trapped in material existence, he was bound by the loving affection of his mother. So what happened when the trees came crashing down? That we will hear tomorrow. But I wanted to bring our attention to this one little sentence. Krishna annihilates the pretenders. I think all of us, when we heard it, we felt, wow, we've never heard this. He who annihilates all pretenders appeared splendid with his curly hair hanging loosely over his shoulders. In Krishna's pastimes, we know this one pastime, that there was this one Poundraka who thought that Krishna is an ordinary human being, and even the fact that Krishna had four and not two arms did not convince him that Krishna was different. In fact, he made some construction that he also had four arms, and then he declared, whatever Krishna can do, I can also do. I'm Vishnu also. And Krishna is a false Vishnu. He's not a real thing. I'm the real thing. So that was, he pretended to be God. And and he sent a challenging message to Krishna and Dwaraka. And when Krishna heard this message, I think he must have seen Poundraka with his inner eye, as someone who was pretending to be Vishnu with his two constructed arms. Krishna heard this, he just laughed and laughed and laughed. He said at the end a message to Poundraka, but I think his clear message was, he was just laughing, 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 laughing. And so this is... our situation also, when we come to in Krishna's kingdom, we are all of a sudden forced to look into a mirror. And of course, when we look into the mirror, we see our beautiful face, but the mirror of Braj is a truth mirror. When I look into this mirror, I see a person with a bad character, a conditioned soul, and so on. I prefer my Tilak mirror, really, to over the mirror of Braj, because the Tilak mirror shows a beautiful man putting on Tilak and showing that he is a great devotee and decorating himself with with devotional items. But when we look into the mirror of Braj, we see the truth. And what is amazing is that if we are willing to learn the truth, accept the truth, and become humble, then everything changes. For me, this is the greatest mirror, a miracle. When I came Govard Parikram today, and when I finally arrived at Radhakund, I was tired, I was exhausted, I was thirsty, I was thinking, oh, I was seeing Vrindavan in one way, and then I began to understand the world is not how you see it, the world is how you are. So maybe the fault is with me. So I continued on, and the next moment I sat at the banks of Radhakund, and I felt this is the spiritual world. I don't want to leave it ever. I want to just sit in Radhakund at these steps, listen to the old Bengali Baba on the right side, listen to the family on the left side singing the Damodarastakam, looking in front and seeing everyone offering lights. And I thought, wow, ideal. So the world is not how we see it, it's how we are. We don't see the world how it is, we see the world how we are. That's how. And in Braj, we look into this mirror, and I can only say for anyone who intends to make a pilgrimage to Braj, when you are shown your face in the mirror, don't protest. But when Braj shows you, then don't protest, but bow down, and then Braj is becoming like a mother, putting you on the lap and giving you some milk and bananas to drink and being kind. Good. So tomorrow we will hear what happened when the trees crashed down from Kavikanapur. Damodar Lila ki jai, Hare Krishna.